Dear friends in Christ who've been called into life to also then speak for and defend life. Deuteronomy 32, very end of the Mosaic book, that would be Genesis through Deuteronomy. It is Moses who says, "The Lord speaks to you. See now that I myself am He. There is no God besides me. I will put to death and I bring to life. I have wounded and I will heal, and no one can deliver out of my hand." The Death with Dignity movement has more to do with control of a person's life and their choice than it does dying with grace. Let's take a look at this. My parents say they don't want to be such a burden. Is it okay for them because they want to die with dignity? That sounds fine, doesn't it? It sounds good, proper. Even it's kind of a balance. When you get to the end and things aren't so good, you choose your way out. But when you think of that concept of death, and it is apart from God, God's word, God's will, when you think of it as, I have the right to choose and be in control, you've completely abandoned the scriptures. Our point, not just in this, but all three of the mini series, is going to be listen to the word of God. You know, this is, in fact, not an authority given to man. Did you hear the word of God? It is God's decision. And it's a scary thought that's becoming a real nightmare as we go down the slippery slope. This was handed to me in an email this week. Sad news is coming out of Belgium. A set of identical twins, because I saw their picture. They've been deaf since birth. They are now going blind. And they have decided that that constitutes the reason to be done with it all. In fact, they are not in extreme illness or pain. They have not been legitimately diagnosed as terminal. In fact, they can live a relatively normal life, even in their disabilities, but they don't want to. And the Belgian authorities allowed it. This last week, the doctor who did the actual assisted suicide said they were so happy. They went out and had a cup of coffee. They waved goodbye to us. They were so serene and peaceful as they gave their last greetings to their family. And it sounds so nice, unless you know that the original doctor that was asked to do this said, I can't, because it's not part of the law. He said that being blind and deaf is not what the legislation meant by unbearable suffering. And their parents didn't agree with them to be euthanized. In fact, the National Federation of the Blind responded this way. This disturbing news from Belgium is a stark example of the common and, in this case, tragic misunderstanding of disability and its consequences. Adjustment to disability is difficult, and deaf-blind people face their own particular challenges. But from at least the time of Helen Keller, it has been known that these challenges can be met. And the technology and services available today have vastly improved prospects for them and others with disabilities. That these men wanted to die is tragic. That the state sanctioned and aided their suicide is frightening. Now, did you know that is called euthanasia? The Greek there is for death, with oi, the word for good. It means to die well. And alongside of that, there are some other twists and turns. Is euthanasia legal in America? No, in that sense. Not like the Netherlands and Holland, but physician-assisted suicide since 2009 is now legal in Oregon, Washington, and Montana. And there is pending legislation in 17 states total. Huh. How did we start 40 years ago with the infant who is not wanted and now end up on the other end with those in disability that are able to choose their own death? And how far are we away from that whole concept that man or the government is the one who is in control of life? You'll find my outline towards the back of the bulletin. It says, "My life belongs to the Lord." And there are two ways in which this is true, in a first commandment way and in a common sense way. Is God in control? I'll turn it around and simply state it the way it was given in Deuteronomy. God is in control of all life. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about how we're supposed to view life, defend it, respect it, celebrate it. In fact, it actually has as much to do with death as it does to do with life. Because if we don't have this awareness of what God has given as the gift of life, it's then that we start to think of death wrongly. It's almost like the avoidance of death becomes the avoidance of God. And I know your first thoughts might be when I say that euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide is sin, it's murder, you'll think of the fifth commandment. But that's only a small part of it. In fact, it's the whole culture who is rejecting God's will. First commandment. It's something in our context. You see, in Deuteronomy, at the very end, Moses is saying goodbye to his people that he has led for 40 years through the wilderness. He's now 120 years old, still strong, but because of his own sin, God says, "No, you're not going into the promised land." His death was pending. So he reviews everything. Deuteronomy means a restatement of God's will, God's law. And as he does so, he'll hand it off to one of the other old men in the nation, Joshua. And he turns to him and says, just the chapter before, "Be strong and courageous." And then he recites a song to the people of Israel, reminding them of God's greatness and his mercy, all that he has done, reminding them that they must entrust their whole life and their afterlife to God alone. What a beautiful reminder that as Moses, their leader, was leaving, God was still with them. God was still in control. Right. Until it gets to be our issue. You know, we can probably agree that God has the when of the end of life, but the how, which is our second point under this first commandment, is that God chooses the quality at the end of life. And I'll show how quickly we fall prey to this breaking of the first commandment because of worry. How many times do you just let your mind just kind of ramble across your own death? The death of a loved one, a child, a grandchild. And you think, "I don't want it to go poorly. I don't want them to suffer." And initially, the concept seems to be, you know, one of real concern and love, but it can turn into a fight for control with God. Worry is, in fact, forgetting that God is in control. And as it takes its pace, you run into the words of Jesus when at the Sermon on the Mount he said, "Don't worry. Every day has enough worry of its own." He says, "Put God first. Seek the kingdom of God, and everything else falls into place." You see, when people think of this a little too much, it leads to muddled thinking. I'll take only one example. I wish I could cover the whole of it, but you'd be here a couple of hours. I will give you answers, but only along the top so that you'll go research and find more. Let's just talk about feeding tubes for a moment. A lot of people come to us as leaders in the church and ask, "Well, what's God's will? Is a feeding tube right or wrong?" And it's not that clear cut. You can't say yes, no. Feeding tubes are good, they're bad. They are an assisting medically of something that we would give to any person. Now take it back to the start of life. Would you stop feeding a baby because they can't feed themselves? No. They need the nutrition. And in the same way, in the principle, they need the nutrition at the end of life. So feeding tubes are generally very useful for enhancing and extending life, unless there has become a block in the illness itself. A person can no longer process food, and we've even seen it in our own ministry. When we put a stomach tube in and they feed and there's still no progress, the body is shutting down. Or it might be that the doctors do say there simply is no value in it. They can't go on because their body won't allow them. You see, there's the difference between active and passive intervention. Active intervention is when you take that feeding away, you really starve them to death. Passive intervention is when there is no benefit anymore. Now, I'm going to give you some direction at the end of this service about how you can chase some more of these kinds of details. What I want you to understand is how slippery this slope has gotten. Starting 40 years ago, it is aggressing, and now at a rapid rate. In fact, because as it has come from that Roe versus Wade decision, the American perspective and the world perspective is one of quality versus sanctity. And God never in Scripture said that we made a decision on whether or not we should let it continue because of its quality. He tells us to think of its sanctity and the benefit that is there in that life. Now, let me take you into Christian Life Resources materials. This is from a primer on euthanasia. And the answer there is to this question: my loved one is in a great deal of pain. Wouldn't it be better to end the suffering? One of their answers is, to seek the better route presumes that choices are made between two or more options. What defines better for the Christian is not what makes us happy or even what makes the patient happy. It's what makes God happy. To know that, we must look at God's Word. From His Word, we learn that suffering is a part of life. In fact, it often serves some very important purposes by making us mindful of God, giving us an opportunity to praise God, and helping us to realign our priorities as we care for those who suffer. So one cannot claim that he or she has some sort of right to be free of suffering. God may be using it for a very specific purpose. It's interesting. Those who have raised a handicapped child or tended to a parent in Alzheimer's know how intense this investment can be. It isn't easy, but it can be blessed so powerfully by the presence and the specific grace of God. It doesn't start with this premise of life as my choice. It starts with the conviction that life granted by God is precious. Now, how cogent is this? Is this a discussion that's going on? 2 days ago, I got an email from another person going to a Christian college in an ethics class. Physician-assisted suicide has long been a topic of debate. This was the question that this person had to answer. Is it okay? Give me your opinion on it. Here's what she wrote. I am against physician-assisted suicide. I believe that life is ended when God takes the individual out of this world. There should be no circumstances where this practice can be allowed. Then the question was, should the state be involved with this? She says it is unethical for a physician to take an oath, do no harm, the Hippocratic Oath, and in turn assist a patient in suicide. When the government and healthcare professionals get involved in the decision of when a life begins and ends, then God is taken out of the equation and man is put in control. God is in control no matter where in life a person is. Whether it is at the beginning or at the end, He determines the outcome of what the challenges a person faces every day. Right on target. It's a first commandment thing. But it's also a common sense thing. We have to trust that God's timing with us is just as perfect as it was with His own Son Jesus. He loved Jesus. And in fact, He loved us so much, He gave Jesus into death. He says in this text in Deuteronomy, I put to death and I bring to life. I have wounded and I will heal. So from the very beginning of the miracle, when God said, let us make man in our image, and what an amazing miracle it began. The forming of Adam and Eve, and in them the seed for all of us. And that beautiful announcement from a child when they tell you, you're going to be a grandma, grandpa. I'm going to be a mom. I'm going to be a dad. There is a new life forming within me. What an amazing thing is stated throughout the scriptures, how fearfully and wonderfully we've been made. And so life itself, first in the physical form, and then even more dynamic in the spiritual form, life is a gift of God. And when it's a gift of God and you respect it that way, then you can see that He knows what the perfect time is all the way through life. As He has brought us in that miraculous way, He will always be by our side. In fact, the birth of Jesus proves this, because it came at just the right time to free us from our sin. And as Psalm 139 says, all the days were ordained for me before one of them came to be. Just what you sang. You know, God takes credit for wounding. And you might think, that's not good. When God wounds somebody, it's not a good thing. Yeah, sometimes He controlled the nations to defeat His own people, Israel, for their good. As a parent will discipline a child who is headed in the wrong direction. And yet it is the Lord God who promises them victory. It is the Lord God who takes out their strength and removes from the equation their ability, and He says, let me lead. Jeremiah reminds us in Lamentations 3, who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both calamities and good things come? Trusting God for perfect timing isn't difficult if you see what He has accomplished in Christ. And in that, then He recovers honor and respect. He gives respect back to life, starting with baptism. It's a good thing to understand, I will heal. We had it in our reading epistle. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you are tempted, He will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. It's the same kind of healing and the same word He used at the very end of the Old Testament in Malachi when He said, I will heal them. They will go out and kick up their heels like calves in the spring. That the grace of God will rise with healing on its wings. Now, how's that healing affect us? In one simple way, that as the Lord Jesus Christ reached that point, not only of birth, but of the end of life, God chose to let Him die. There was absolutely no dignity in His death. And somehow human beings think they deserve dignity in death. The dignity that Jesus forewent, being allowed to, as a human being, be placed on a piece of wood, being stripped, being ridiculed, being mocked. Why? Pretty simple answer, wasn't it? Because our God is willing to forego human kinds of dignity in order to give something greater. This is celebrated in our Christian church every week. This is the core of the whole discussion of life. is if God has given life and God can take life, then why would he do that to his own precious son? And the answer is because he values us now. Because it has already given us an actual valid value which is afforded by faith in Christ. Would it be better for one to die for the whole nation? Absolutely. And in turn, in that sacrifice, as he let his life slip away, he brought new life for you. So this isn't about life at the end with dignity. It's life now. Actual value, sanctity that is given to you and to every life that God allows in. And we will defend that because that is God's word. Amen. And we turn to the Nicene Creed on page 6, and we express our faith in this gracious God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated as we gather the offering. And this is to show the value of eternal life. It's our ministry that is distinctly that of life by faith in Christ. The ushers are bringing out the friendship register. Please sign, and guests, you'll find a guest card in there.